This morning, we're going to talk about tragedies and victories. So I got a couple different stories. The first one I'm going to is David at Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30. So I'm going to read the first 5 and a half verses, 1 to 6a. Okay? David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it. And they captivated the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire. Their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, both their names, the A1 and the, both A's, I guess, and the winner of Nabal. David was greatly distressed because of the men were talking about stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because his sons and daughters had been taken. So I know my day was bad Wednesday, but David was having a bad day, right? That was a bad day. So David got there. Ziklag was David's home. That's where he'd been living. And it was completely destroyed, and everyone was captured. So they got there, and all their houses were burned. Their families had all been kidnapped, and they had lost everything. And one of the biggest understatements in the Bible was they were greatly distressed. You think? You've lost everything? And not only that, David's men wanted to kill him. Now that's having a bad day. Now I'm going to take you from David over to Esther. Now Esther's a good book, but you know, it's really about Mordecai. I know the book is named Esther and stuff, but it's really about Mordecai. So let me jump over and start reading Esther 3, 1 to 15. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of whoever that H guy is, the Agite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid him honor, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down and pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gates asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day, they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore, they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai, who would not kneel down and pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet, having learned about Mordecai's people, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman was looking for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. So in the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of the sun, the Pur, that is the lot, was cast in the presence of Haman to select a day and month, and the lot fell on the 12th month of the month of Adar. Then Haman said to the king, Xerxes, "There's a certain people dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from all the other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. And it's not in your best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators in the royal treasures." So the king took his signet ring off of his finger and gave it to Haman, the Agite, and the enemy, he was the enemy of the Jews. He said, "Keep your money and do with it with these people with what you want." Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out the script of each province in the language of all the people. Haman's orders to the king and king's satraps and the governors of all the provinces and the nobles and all the various peoples. They were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his signet ring. So dispatches were sent out by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month of the month of Adar, and to plunder all their goods. A copy of the edict, the text of the edict was issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality to be ready for that day. The couriers went out, spurred on by the king's command, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sit down to eat and drink as if nothing was going on, but the city of Susa was bewildered. Wow. Wow. So they were going about their lives, and now all of a sudden, on this one day, they were all going to be killed. All of them. So Haman's plans to destroy Mordecai and his people just because he wouldn't bow down to him. So that this is a tragedy coming on God's people, the Jews. Haman, the enemy of the Jews, he rises to power. He gets the king to devise a plan to kill all the Jews. So all the Jews in the whole kingdom, this was going to be a bad day. Now, what would happen if both those stories ended right there? What would have happened? Let's go back to David. David probably would have got killed by his men. David's men wouldn't have got any of their belongings or their families back. David would not have become king. But the biggest thing is that they would have not received the victory that God had intended for them. And what about Esther? The Jews, including Esther, would have all been killed, annihilated, wiped off the face of the earth. They wouldn't have been able to ever go back to their home country. And they wouldn't have received the victory that God had in store for them. So I started thinking about it. What happens when people start getting disappointed, disheartened, distressed, tired of waiting? They start blaming other people, right? They start blaming the leaders. They take matters into their own hands. They grumble and complain. The biggest thing is they lose their heavenly perspective. Examples, children, Moses and the children of Israel. How many times did that happen with them? Time and time again. Saul was supposed to wait for the king, or wait for the prophet to get there to bless him before he went to battle, and he didn't come when he wanted him to. So he got impatient and took matters into his own hands, and the kingdom was taken away from him. Because he took matters into his own hands. David's men, they were about ready to take matters into their own hands. Right? And today, in the church, out of the church, past, present, and future, that happens a lot, right? So let's go back to Esther here and find out what Mordecai does. Esther 4:14. I'm assuming John's putting those up. Thank you, John. Putting Herb, Mike, Michael. Esther 4:14. Mordecai encourages Esther. He says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. But who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this." Amen. Who knows that you guys haven't come to where you are for such a time as this right now? Amen. Sorry, I'm jumping back and forth. It's better than shuffling papers. So Mordecai encourages Esther, and she says, okay, I'll do it. But you've got to do this for me. You've got to pray and fast. Have everybody pray and fast for me. Because if I go into the king and he doesn't extend his scepter, I'll be killed. So they prayed and sought the Lord. And what happened? The tables were turned. Instead of the Jews getting killed, Haman was killed. And the Jews were saved. And what else? Haman got promoted. Mordecai got promoted instead of Haman. So that tragedy turned into the greatest victory for the Jewish people. Let's go back to Samuel and David. 1 Samuel 36b. But David sought strength in the Lord his God. Remember, he's having this bad day, right? David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Abimelech, bring me the ephod. So he brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? He said, pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and be successful in your rescue. So David and 600 men with him came to Besor Valley, and some of them stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley. David and his men and 400 of them pursued him. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, gave him water to drink, food to eat, took a cake of pressed figs and cake of raisins, and he ate it and was revived, for he had not eaten or drank anything for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, who do you belong to? Where do you come from? He said, I'm an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerarites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me down to this raiding party? He said, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I'll take you to him. So he led David there, and he found them all scattered over the countryside, eating and drinking and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines of Judah and Judah. So David fought them from dusk till evening of the next day. None of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. You ever wonder why some things are in the Bible? It never explains that. 400 of them just ran away on camels. My mind thinks weird sometimes. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder, everything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men had driven them ahead of the livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. So he sought the Lord, and he went after him, and he got everything back. Everything back. They didn't just raid Ziklag. They raided a whole bunch of stuff. So he not only got his stuff back, he got everything back. So he got more and more and more. So that tragedy turned into a great victory. So it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So you know what? I'm thinking he encouraged his men too. Because he got them from wanting to kill him to following him in battle again. So I'm going to take a little few liberties here, and this might have went. Okay, so this is David talking to his men. Joshua Bean, you raised your spear. Do you remember when you raised your spear against 300 men whom you killed in one encounter? Do you remember that? Eleazar, do you remember taking your stand in the middle of the field and struck down the Philistines when the Lord brought a great victory to you that day? Abishai, brother of Joab, do you remember when you raised your spear against 300 men whom you killed in one encounter? Abishai, son of Zerah, do you remember when you stood your ground, drew a line in the sand and stood your ground and killed 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt? Do you remember that? Do you remember these things? God is able. He will help us. Berenai, do you remember when you struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors? Do you remember when you went into the snowy pit and killed that lion? Do you remember when you struck down the Egyptian who was over 7 foot tall? He had a spear in his hand. All you had was a club. You took the spear away from him and killed him. Do you remember doing that? David sought the Lord, and he encouraged his men. And I'm sure he reminded them of all the times the Lord had brought great victory through them. So David pursued his victory, and God brought about a great victory on their behalf. Everything was back, and much, much more. So how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? I kind of ask myself that. I'm going to take a drink here real quick. And I wrote a couple things down. One way is by remembering all the times God has helped you and rescued you in the past. Amen? Another way is remembering all the promises that God has given you, both that have come about and those that have not yet been realized. That's how you can encourage yourself in the Lord. So Paul is talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. He tells Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Oh my. Oh my. How many of you know someone that's been shipwrecked in their faith? Oh my gosh. My heart breaks. My heart breaks for people that have been shipwrecked in their faith because they haven't held on to these things. They haven't remembered these things. If you haven't written down the words that God has spoken to you, you need to. If you haven't written down the times that you've been rescued, that God has helped you and rescued you, and the times that He's given you promises, you need to write them down. Because why? Why should I write them down? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. When you're under the gun, you are not going to remember them. Okay? When the enemy is coming against you with full force, you're not going to remember them. But if you write them down, then you take, like John reads out of his journal, you take your journal or whatever it is and read the good times, the times the Lord's rescued you. You read the promises that He's given you and the promises not yet fulfilled. You read them and encourage yourself in the Lord with them. So, I talked to John a little bit this week, and what I wanted him to give me is some prophecies that God has given John and Harmony. So, Harmony, remember, God is going to give us more in 5 years than He did in the first 25. Amen. Do you remember that? Remember it. The Lord is making a covenant of love with the people of Harmony. He's going to put love in us. It's going to ooze out of us. And we're going to be able to love God and love other people. All people. Doesn't matter whether young or old, what color they are, what race they are, what religion they are. He's going to put a covenant of love in us so that we can love all people. He's gonna make us fishers of men. And the prophecy was that as we're out in the boat, remember back in the biblical days, they would take these boats out and throw their nets out and then pull the nets in. The prophecy is that you won't have to put your nets out because fish will be jumping in your boat. Amen. So Harmony, people are going to be jumping in our boat, people that need salvation. So remember that. Another prophecy is we're going to be a restorer of the restorers. So we're going to restore people that can restore people. We're going to have a ministry of restoring people, body, soul, and spirit. Remember, Harmony, remember, you are restorers. You are to restore people. Another one that I'd either forgotten about or didn't remember is that we had this vast land, and it was kind of covered with brush, and when we started digging around, we found this grapevine, this lush grapevine with abundance of grapes on it. And the grapes were people being saved. So these are things that we need to remember, that even though it doesn't look like it, there's a grapevine under there with abundance of grapes. And we've had several prophecies about a river flowing through Harmony. God's presence and power and healing flowing out of you. Healing for the sake of evangelism. That's what's flowing out of us. Not just healing. Not just to put on a show. But healing for the sake of evangelism. Right? You have someone's grandma come in that's been in a wheelchair for 20 years, and she gets up and walks out. How hard is it going to be to get their family saved? Amen? So, it's a little something I wrote down here. God is going to fill this place with the lost, the hurt, the brokenhearted, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the dead, and they're going to walk out of here saved, pain-free, mended, healed, able to see, able to walk, and alive with the life of God in them. Amen? That's us, Harmony. That's us. Remember, Harmony. Remember that. Remember who we are. Remember the promises God has given us. We're healers. That's how we will bring people, win souls, is healers. Remember those promises, because that's the word of God. And he never lets his promises fall to the ground. That's what he's promised us. So remember those things. So as a people, that's what we need to do, is remember those things. I'll take another drink. Got a little loud. I don't know about you, but this stirs me up, man. This stirs me up. Also, individually, people of Harmony, remember all the times that God has come to your rescue. Remember all the times that God has helped you. Remember all the promises that he's given you that have come about. But remember all the promises that aren't yet realized, because they're just as real. They're going to happen. It's going to happen, Harmony. It's going to happen. You might say, I don't have any promises. Wait a minute. Wes, I just saw you. That last song fit in perfectly. I mean, the Holy Spirit just, I mean, I almost called you and asked you to sing something along that lines. It's like, I wouldn't have come up with that song, but that was awesome. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Sorry. He caught my attention. So if you've said, well, maybe I don't have a prophecy about me. What? You do. Jeremiah 29:11. Go ahead and put Jeremiah 29:11 up there. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you, and to give you a future and a hope. If you can't remember anything, remember that. Remember that. Okay, the next one. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we have the witnesses that have come gone before us, right? And it says, run the race, run a good race by fixing your eyes on Jesus, because he's the author and the perfecter of your faith. And the next one, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you need that faith. That's how you please God. It's impossible to please God because anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So if you haven't been given any prophecies, hold on to those three. Hold on to those three, because God wants to bless you. Just like Wes was saying earlier, God wants to bless you. So church, I implore you that hold on through the tragedy, praying that, God, what do you have? What's the victory in store on the other side? Because it said, God works out everything for the good of those who love me and are called according to his purposes. So if you're faced with a tragedy, don't let it end there. Don't let it stop there. It will stop you from the victory that God has for you. Don't stop there. Persevere. Persevere. Persevere through that and grab a hold of the victory that God has for you. Each one of you, and as a church harmony, we've got to do this. We've got to hold on. We've got to hold on to these promises. We can't let go. We can't give up. It's too important. It's too important to God. It's too important to God for us to stop and not get the victories that he has for us. Because he's promised us the nations. The nations. Do you understand that? He's promised us the nations. This fires me up. I'm sorry. I used to tell my students that, what's the difference between success and failure? And you know what I told them? Perseverance. Don't give up. Like Winston Churchill said, never, never give up. Don't give up. So many times people have given up in the darkest times and have gotten shipwrecked in their faith. Let's not that be us. Let's not that be anyone that we know. Let's help encourage people. Let's help encourage one another. That's part of spurring one another in love and good deeds. Right? So let's do that, church. Let's encourage each other. Let's persevere. Wes, can we sing that song one more time? The Goodness of God. Please. Like Josh said, God is good all the time. And all the time he is good. He's good and he does good. That's who he is. That's what he does. And he wants the best for us. He wants those victories for us. That's what he wants. And they're ours.
I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God. We make this declaration, Lord. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Let's just sing it again. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
So, Church Harmony, let's do something. Let's commit to one another. Let's commit to one another that we will help remind people of the good things that God has promised us and the good things He's done for us individually and corporately. Let's not go into that other camp griping, complaining, talking bad about the leaders, trying to overthrow them, stuff like that. That's not for us. That's not for us. We have promises here at Harmony. Enemy wants to steal those from us, and we have to covenant together and say, this is our time. The Lord has blessed us. He wants to do these things for us. So that's what we need to do, is covenant together and say, yes, Harmony, yes, God, we are with you, we are for you. And if you know someone that has an opportunity to get shipwrecked in their faith, stand alongside of them. You remind them of the good things that the Lord has told you, told them. You're done for them. And the good promises that He's made. Okay? So, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all my life. You've been so, so good. So faithful. All my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help remind us of all the promises you've given us and all the times you have come to our rescue time and time again. Help us to remind each other, and you remind us of these things. Father, I just bless Harmony right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come, Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming.